Oh, there's music playing.
Wow, this show, we don't do music on this show. We gotta turn the music off. This is the show. Okay, this is the show. I'm gonna sit down.
Yeah, is this, how many shows have you had? I've done a lot of radio shows.
Really? Wow. Okay, this is the third episode of Open Up and Bleed with Eugene, and I have two very special guests. I haven't started the broadcast. And we are now broadcasting. Wow, it's really oscillating between you and us, right? I'm going to pick you guys. This hangout is now on air live. And I have here, this is Open Up and Bleed, K-Chung Radio, 1630 AM. You can also tune in on our Google Hangout. The link is way too long. They've got to figure that out. Don't you guys think they need to figure out a way where I could just say www.634.whatever.com?
That has to be taken.
I just mean, like, for that.
In theory, yes.
Oh, you can figure that out?
Well, I'm an engineer, so I know why that's hard.
You're an engineer for what? Like,
it's a
computers?
Yeah.
And then don't you find it ironic that we're using computers right now at this very moment to discuss this?
It is slightly ironic, yes.
Okay, and what is your specialty?
Also not very surprising. I'm completely excited. Expected.
No, I didn't know. I had no idea the sort of resource we had at our disposal. Because Darius, correct me if I'm wrong, and Mika, you can step in too as an outside party. But the relationship between Darius and myself is new.
Yes,
we have just met.
Objectively true.
It is very recent.
Yeah.
And unpredictable.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had no idea that you worked with the very tools which we use here on Open Up Bleed to transmit the show. So, if I wanted, okay, maybe the solution in itself is stupid of what I said, but what would be the right way? Like, I want to tell people to visit this hyperlink, which has a long URL, and watch this Google Hangout.
So the way things are done now,
yeah,
is basically like they'll have a URL shortener, right?
And yeah, you can, I know that. Atly, bit.ly, whatever.
Right, you do that, and then that's what you say.
Okay.
So you'll say like that X ampersand.
But let's get with the real world here.
Okay? Right, right.
I asked my good friend Mika Marple to meet me 15 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
The show has a slim hour-long time slot.
Yes.
For reasons unbeknownst to me that I respect. I have no problem with these reasons. The mic's in your face, Mika, so we gotta do something about that.
Your ratings are gonna go down.
Yeah, ratings, because you need an intelligent, good-looking woman. And then you want to tilt maybe the mic up. You can tilt the arm down, but the mic up. If you actually position it the right way, that's exactly what all of the quote-unquote pathetic men watching this want. They want a sort of phallic object.
No.
This is a sex show, guys. No. Oh, wait. So I was going to say, right. So then life intervenes.
I knew there was a reason.
Mika was supposed to meet me at 8:45.
Right.
For you guys were having a great dinner. You guys are also potentially new friends or old friends. I don't know. Whatever type of friends you are, you had a lot to talk about. And so you ended up meeting me at like 8:58, which didn't necessarily give us enough time to set up the show properly.
Right.
And so if I had the time, maybe I could have done a bit.ly shortened bookmark. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah,
I didn't have the time.
I see
where
you're
going. I should have Instagrammed about this. I should have tweeted about this. Because, you know, people want to know what Mika has to say. I'm going to take photos here now to make this show relevant.
I should get my phone out, too.
I have a counter, a viewer counter here at the bottom here.
Yeah.
And do you guys have it on your side?
No, we don't.
Bottom right, do you have that?
No.
So you're not aware, then, that we have thousands of viewers right now.
Did you buy them?
What?
Did you buy them?
No, I don't believe you can do that. I think in a Google sort of environment, you can't do that.
Okay, that's wow, that looks
really cool. Isn't that what all celebrities do now? They go on these talk shows and take selfies of themselves?
Well, it's not a selfie, guys. I took a pic of you guys because that's the sort of selfless person I am.
Isn't that what all celebrities do now?
They take pictures of themselves.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm a celebrity. Yeah, I think I'm a celebrity. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. I'm going to write in my Instagram. Tune in now, but no one's going to know how. Right. Even if I put the link in the Instagram, you can't click in the Instagram comment.
Right.
You say, look at my profile. That's what people do.
I don't think this is much of an interview show.
We're just talking about
your problems.
No.
We didn't come here to solve your problems.
We came to talk about me. Fine, you're right. You're right, Mika.
This is supposed to be about her.
It's about you guys. So how did you guys meet? Are you old friends or new friends?
We're relatively new friends.
Yeah. We met past few months, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And is it correct that you live in the Bay Area?
I used to live in the Bay. I am new to LA, living in Mount Washington.
Wow, welcome. Do you live up on a hill?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, because I like to cycle. I like at the end of my ride home, just like the steady climb up the hill.
And are you going to ride a bike?
That's crazy.
Home right now?
No, I won't actually.
So you're lying.
No, not. I'm not doing it tonight because I did it twice today already.
Oh wow!
So yeah.
To work and from work.
Right. Well, and then I had to go to the DMV because I had to give money to the state.
Do you need to get a license to ride a bicycle?
No.
Because that would be truly.
But you can get a DUI.
Yeah, you can.
Which is
kind of bullshit, to be honest.
Well, don't tell it to the judge.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I never don't end hear up about with, it. The, with the judge in that context. If I do, I'll end up dead because cars don't give a shit about cyclists. So.
Well, how do you think? Well, how do you feel about riding in a pack? Well, as I was waiting for you guys, this is a long wait.
It's
I
true.
Saw a whole pack of riders. Do you like that? Do you participate?
No. I usually ride solo. Mm-hmm. Actually, packs.
But not always. I just asked.
You get sucked in.
Usually, in the Bay, I'm more likely to get sucked in because there's just so many more cyclists.
Many. Here, it's more like you have to plan it out. It has to be in your schedule.
Right.
You can't just find a pack.
Right. You can't. And like. Well, the pack thing is awkward because the way a lot of lanes are in LA, they'll just have the bike sign on the road.
Yeah, they
which
actually
legitimately
make
means you can ride there.
One bike.
Yeah. If they wanted a pack, they would put like 10 bikes on the road. Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm not speaking hate. I'm just curious about your opinion.
Right.
I am scared of riding bike.
It is scary to be scared of things. Yeah.
And so I believe that any physical thing besides just like me in a room by myself could kill me.
Right.
So I am scared to ride bike alone, in public, with group, whatever. When I see the groups riding,
yeah,
I don't agree with their style decisions.
Right.
I don't agree with their music choice.
Style decisions are usually
questionable.
How
do you know what their music choices are?
No, some groups do.
The one that passed by blasted. And, you know, the pack goes for, like, you know, a few hundred meters. From beginning to end, it's a snake.
Right.
And the beginning of the snake has only faint understanding of the back of the snake and vice versa. And in the entire snake, there's four or five boomboxes.
Right.
And none of the choices I heard tonight, whether it was high NRG dance music or more generic Black Eyed Peas or something more of a contemporary hip hop.
Right.
I didn't feel like I wanted to be part of that pack. But then again, I don't want to be part of any pack. And I feel like, I feel like you're an individualist. Is that right?
I mean, I don't subscribe to like what libertarianism usually means.
Mm. Well, you are from Bay Area. That is like sort of like buzz thing there.
Well, with like Peter Thiel and all those Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg? Is that what you said? Yeah. Zuckerberg.
I mean,
you heard it here first. Darius, what's your last name just so I can get you in trouble?
Liddell. Liddell. That's my real last name.
Liddell, yeah.
I don't know Mark Zuckerberg. So technically I can't say fuck you, but
you have an F-book profile.
Yeah, I do.
No longer, actually. I just heard it was removed.
No, it's that's my real name. So
no, that's what I'm saying. You literally have just been removed from Facebook.
Out to thousands of viewers.
Yeah. Oh, just went up.
Yeah.
Five digits. We just went from 9999 to 10001. You're a coder. What does that mean? 10001. Does that mean anything?
In binary, 1001.
No, 100. 10,001. That's how many viewers.
10,001? It means like...
It means you're popular.
No, no, in binary.
No, it means... It means 17.
It means what?
17.
This is so boring.
This is boring?
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we get into the wild and fucking crazy world of Mika Marble. Hey, Mika, welcome to the show. I'm sorry that you're so bored by the subject matter that we have here. Why don't you entertain us with your incredible life? What did you do today?
I signed up for this anime expo.
Are you going to go in cosplay?
I am, yeah.
What is your cosplay going to be?
Well, it was either going to be Sailor Moon.
It's off time.
Or Daenerys.
Daenerys, that's from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Did you see the season finale?
No, I've actually only seen season one.
You can't dress up as Game of Thrones for anime. That just doesn't make sense.
It's just...
Again,
I think it's
Daenerys coming in with his Bay Area
rules. And your rules. Yeah, you need to break out.
Yeah. Oh. Like, the reason that Mika is such a successful and notable figure in the art world is because she knows how to think outside of the rule box.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. It's true.
Most niche communities, whether they be gamers or comic book fans or art world, there's a set of rules.
Okay? Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with this term, Darius, but once in a while, a notable disruptor, okay, will come into this community and operate under their own rules. And Mika Marple,
thank you,
may be one of these disruptors.
At the Anime Expo. She
in
will,
life, wherever what, she goes, you know, she has a dirty, slimy trail
of innovation. of innovation.
Yeah, that she's
slimy.
Kind of slug, kind of just like a disgusting slug. Just kind of. You see, this is why we have the cameras in this show.
Yes.
Because on air, when you can't see the slug.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Daenerys.
Well, I mean, the reason it takes.
Why don't you combine the two outfits?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
That could work.
That's conceptual. Yeah. No, but what's exciting is I'm going with this art advisor from who, like, spends her time between here and China. So I'm actually doing work. I'm actually working.
That isn't exciting. What is exciting about that? Just because you get to show her, like...
And one of our artists is coming. No. She's the one...
First.
No, she's...
They invented this
know.
In East Asia. These sort of conventions.
I'm not trying to
cosplay
take credit for it as an American. I'm this advisor is the one who got me to go in the first place. And then I'm bringing one of our artists. So I'm going to turn it all... It's all part of the game's plan to become successful.
You just announced on air, live, how strategic your whole life is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people go into this, they're doing it for fun, they're doing it for passion of the nerdy thing that they're into. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's for strategy, but.
But for you, everything is just a manipulative game that has tons of ulterior motives.
Sort of. And that's probably...
That's such a cop-out answer, sort of.
No.
To a question like that, that's a
Well, I mean, in a
no,
way,
I think that's
yes.
Sort of. It's honest. Because a lot of people, I think, would want to answer, no, WG, you completely misunderstand, don't misconstrue. I just want to have fun with my artist and the art advisor.
Yeah, no, I'm more transparent than
well,
that.
Also,
I'm more honest.
You're not going to mix business and pleasure, right? And this
she
is business.
I mean, what?
It is, but my I'm in the business of pleasure somewhat.
Well, let's be frank.
Without being a prostitute,
That here's why. Here's why I like you, Mika.
Thank you.
As a friend for me.
He hasn't said why yet. You said thanks already.
He acknowledged me as a friend.
That's the first.
There's very few people that I would acknowledge as a friend.
So
sometimes they say,
pretty happy with just that.
Sometimes I say to Jonah, I said, is Mika our friend?
What? No.
No, I don't say that. I'm just kidding. Or do I? Or do I? I like you because I don't think you view me as business.
No, but we have done business
before.
We've
done business.
Yeah, that's on air. Thanks.
But you don't view me as...
No, you're a genuine friend. But it's not like we wouldn't possibly do business sometime in the future.
I would love to do business with you because I think you have a great business mind. And Darius, I don't know, you guys just met really, so I'll just give you a tip. Mika's got a great business mind.
Thank you.
Yeah. Guys, could you... I'm going to pose a question to you and I'm going to leave you for 12 seconds, okay? Mm-hmm. Figure out for me on June 16th, 2017. Give me one sentence. Think about it. Of what's going on in your life?
In my life?
That's exactly. Well, you and Darius.
June 17th.
Think about it.
June 16th. Two years from today.
Think about it. I'll be back in a second. Are you watching the show?
I'm not watching this.
What are you gonna say?
Okay, I'm closing.
You need, is this you mine? Need time to think of what you're gonna say.
Is this yours, Mika? I feel you're like I have smart water.
No, I don't have. I never carry.
Oh, water. Is that mine? Somewhere in this place is. I think it's mine. Okay. It's mine. I'm back. Quote unquote pitches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah. I know that movie.
Pitch Perfect. We're back, pitches. So. Darius, why don't you go first? Because I think Mika needs more time. And for 1 second...
I think I know.
You do know?
Yeah.
Darius, do you know what...
In one sentence.
Well, if you're not ready, Mika will go first.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Okay. Mika, to you.
Yeah.
On June 16th, 2017, I will be... And then say your thing.
Oh, wait, no, I need more time, actually.
Okay, I'll go first.
I'll be okay. No, I know what.
All right, it is. Mika goes first.
Okay, So on June 16th, 2017.
Right.
I will be millionaire. I'm serious.
You could have said a millionaire.
That's what I said. A millionaire.
You said I will be millionaire.
Yeah,
that's what I. Okay, that is what I said. I will be a millionaire. What's so weird about that?
Darius heard you say it without the word a.
Yeah, so
I will be millionaire, like a fucking caveman,
or a very like stereotyped Asian character in any movie, basically.
You think that I'm the type of person who would do that? Stereotype an Asian?
I don't think you're the type.
What is the type? Anyway, okay, so before we get to you, Darius, keep your sentence in the back of your pocket. Mika.
Yeah.
Do you think it is troubling that you are invested in business?
Yeah.
And in 2 years... One thing that you know for sure, that you foresee yourself in, is a certain financial strata.
Yeah.
Yet, your professed specialty or passion, or the thing that you dedicate most of your time and life to, is selecting and promoting art.
True.
Right? Like, your passion, and stop me at any point if I'm wrong here, is to locate, discover artists, people whose goals are to express their personal take on reality in a way that is innovative, potentially highly critical, and maybe even destructive towards the power structure and status quo.
Yeah.
And yet, a large part of your focus in our discussion here has been about money, and business. Now, if I polled the artists, they might be excited and grateful and thankful that someone who is focused on business is going to bat for them. But I ask you, do you see any problems with this sort of focus on money in relation to expression, art, critique, societal subversion?
Fuck. Yeah, of course there are problems. But then there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, I think art is just a lot about changing tastes, and like things that are subversive just become like consumed and like very quickly and become normalized. And I think there's a lot of financial potential in actually like getting behind disruptive forces. So I don't necessarily think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can make a lot of money off of people that are very challenging. But at the same time, it's hard to be really radical and be part of a system.
Yeah.
And
okay. I mean, obviously we are from a different perspective.
I think you have to be part of this. I mean, you don't have to, but I think you want to be part of the system somewhat.
Who's you? The artist?
Whoever is trying to be... Whoever's trying to be disruptive. I think you, like, want to be... I don't know. If you want to see change beyond your very immediate surrounding...
Yeah.
You want to, like, engage with a larger...
Infiltrate.
You want to engage with the system somewhat.
Okay, let's
all acknowledge...
It's a compromise. Let's all acknowledge that the word disrupt, right, is just a comical buzzword at this point that is more of, like, a joke to say than what it, like, is purported to mean, right?
Yeah.
I know that you're not saying... I know that you are aware
at this point,
that.
Disruptive is just means commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we've acknowledged that. I just can't like let that go in the show because it would be a weird thing. I know that you know, and I know that Darius knows, and I know that I know, but I just want to say for the record, for the 11,500 listeners.
Yeah.
Viewers, actually. So.
But I mean, I guess it's, you can be radical and it doesn't remove you from the potential of, I don't know, being financially very successful, potentially.
What do you think?
Actually, I think it's hard. Well, never mind.
It's an old question.
Be. You do not have to answer this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw this question out
there. No, it's good to be asked this because I don't get asked it enough.
Let me throw this out there to you. Because the way I see it, those things aren't necessarily exclusive to you. You know, they're not mutually exclusive. At the same time, they're not complementary. For instance...
Automatically.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, I think someone who might be truly radical and... Well, not even truly radical, but someone who's actually interested in creating a new type of art or expressing themselves in a way that basically is in dialogue with what's happening, but not in a way that's trendy... I guess my question is, what do you think about more when you make decisions? Do you think about, is someone pushing forward? What do you weigh more? You say, this person is pushing forward the language and dialogue of art 90%, and they're 10% commercially. I have a 10% chance of being able to sell out this person's work by the second time I show them. Do you take on that person, or does it have to be something like 50-50?
I mean, you have a roster so that you can have, like... So, sort of, you have enough people that make commercially viable work that isn't necessarily... It's challenging on some levels, but maybe not...
Why wouldn't you want every artist on your roster to be pushing the dialogue forward? You couldn't pay your rent.
And ultimately, like, we make the decision to be... We think that it's more important to be sustainable and support maybe one or two really, really radical artists that we have a hard time selling than to not be in business and only...
And support 10.
I mean, then you have more of an audience. You... I think potentially, like, by compromising... You know, we're making the choice to, like, have...
View it as a compromise.
No, it's not a... I mean... In the way that you're talking
about market forces.
Yeah, I believe that it's...
You already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just a decision to, like...
Yeah.
You know... I guess choose a broader audience. Or, like, have money...
Let me change the subject a little.
Well, let me just finish.
Okay.
But that to, like, decide that money will, like, help you make more change, and then you have to make compromises to make money, than thinking that you don't need money to make change... I'd rather make change with money than not.
Yeah, and pretend you obviously have way more impact, and you have more visibility, and visibility comes from having the resources.
At the same time, you could make a lot more money, and we don't.
Yeah.
We make choices against making money all the time.
Yeah. Okay. The subject that I'm about to change to is... Still hold on to your sentence, Darius?
Yeah.
You've had a long time.
Later. Not
I
yet.
Mean, no,
it's not time for your sentence yet.
I'm just like...
He's going to have a very different answer for me.
Do you want to comment on this before I change the
subject? No, I'm saying, like, yeah, I had a long time, but this is interesting, so it's not like I'm, like, coming up with a sentence.
You're not just here waiting for me to be over?
I want to listen. More of a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm challenging you to hold on to it, because we will return to it in about 15 minutes, probably.
Oh, yeah, I can hold on to it.
But I'm going
to
change the subject. First, I'm going to plug in the power. Let me ask you, why do these things die so quickly? I know you're an engineer. No, I have a different question that's sort of related, and it applies to all of us, I think. I hope. Do you guys think that when you are making these choices that you're making, whether it's... just for a little more context. Are you a designer at all, or are you... Do you conceive of things from scratch and then kind of execute them at all?
Yes, but not in the design
sense. Right, but just in the...
Not in the visual sense.
Yeah, not in the design sense, but in the... I've come up with an idea. I'm going to engineer this idea.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So do you guys feel that you have... Because sort of what I'm about to ask is, like, Mika's talking about this stuff as if this is... What I'm about to say is a given. And I don't know that it is a given. At least for me, I don't think it's a given. Okay. Do you guys feel you have a good grasp, or, like, you know what will succeed ahead of time and kind of what won't? Because, like, I feel like what Mika's saying is kind of like, well, we know, like, this is going to sell, and we kind of know this isn't. And, like, every time, for instance, I make films, so every time I make a movie, I'm kind of like, this rules...
Right.
This is going to be the biggest thing I've ever done.
Right.
It's going to get 100 million views.
Right.
And it's going to sell out every movie theater.
Yeah.
And the next movie I make, instead of making this one for $10,000 and asking everyone to work for free, the next one I'm going to make for $10 million and everyone's going to walk away with the pay they deserve.
Right.
So I feel like I don't know what's up. And...
That happens.
Does that make me stupid? What do you guys think?
No. Well, you go first.
I mean, as an individual, it's different, right? Like, if you're, like, an artist in the more, like, traditional form, I make films. Like, sure, running a business is also an art, and that is some conception of the artist, too. But I feel like...
Wait, you're saying a filmmaker is a business person.
No. I'm saying, like, Mika is also an artist. Right?
Yeah.
But, like, you're artists
in
the more...
I'm not talking about us as artists. I'm just talking about us as, in the general sense, decision-making entities. So you are someone who conceives of things and then makes a set of decisions. And after you've made that decision, do you think you can tell that the set of decisions you made will lead to success?
When you're building large software projects, usually no. Because...
You're working with a huge team.
Yeah, which is, like, impossible. And it's also basically, it's like you're building a house, but you basically have to build it so that anything that's added to it will be able to be added in the most efficient way possible. for whoever's going to be working on it after you and for everyone else.
Yeah.
Which is impossible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Do you...
So,
okay,
no, is my answer.
No,
I guess.
Is there like kind of an overseer on these projects?
Yeah, there's like the lead developer, lead engineer.
And do you communicate with these people directly?
Yes, but ultimately you still have to make your own decision, right?
They don't micromanage you.
Right.
But okay, so for you
depends
though.
On the team. But yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah.
But for you, so when the lead developer or the lead engineer is competent and visionary or whatever you want to call them, or like just good,
right,
then you probably feel like, okay, this will probably succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And if
for
they're
sure.
poor, you think, shit, let me just finish this as soon as possible, get paid and get out of here, because this probably will stink.
Right. Well, I mean, just like everything else, it's just a matter of taste, right? Like,
well, that's a good question. That's kind of what I'm asking. Like how do you know when your taste aligns with the taste of the market that right. you're making decisions for?
It. And jump in.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for
then
it.
Then we can get...
Go for it.
No, I mean, to, I guess, answer your question, no, I've been very wrong before about what things that I thought wouldn't work. And for different reasons. Like, I've thought that someone had such a strong, passionate, undeniable voice that people, like, wouldn't help but see what a force she was. Mm-hmm. And it,
but maybe they don't like that force.
Yeah, what? Who knows? Whatever. But I was so sure that like this would blow up so fast, and it didn't. And then conversely, like I've been like, God, this is so safe, such a safe bet. Like so conservative. People are gonna love this. It's like already in the bag, and it hasn't worked out. And then in retrospect, it makes sense. Like, you know, like the.
But then there's also been times when you're like.
Like, that okay. wasn't our audience that we, you know, like...
Yeah, but that, have there ever been times when you're like,
you can
oh,
go
God,
too far left or right.
This is going really bad, and then it goes really well.
Yeah, of course. Sometimes it just takes time.
Oh, no, but what about, like, ahead of time, before anyone sees it, you're like, oh, shit, this is going to be a bad show. And then people show up, and it's, like, incredible.
We've never put on a bad show. That's never happened to me. That's honestly never happened to me.
But the two examples that you give are kind of the same thing. You
have but maybe not.
Wildly more successful.
Oh, I mean, I've definitely, with artists that I've met before, I'm like, God, they're never going to make it. Or, like, God, they're way too annoying to ever make it. And then they're way more successful than I am.
So
that's happened many times. So
mind of no. resentful and contemptuous Mika Marple, who wishes ill towards a quote-unquote annoying artist. So all of you annoying artists out there, steer clear of the voodoo priestess Mika Marple, or should I say, get very close to her, because if she thinks you're annoying and won't succeed, it's very likely you will.
Touché.
Okay. Darius, what's your sentence?
Oh, my sentence.
In 2017, June 16th.
On June 16th, 2017.
Right.
I will be... okay. I will be a farmer.
A farmer?
And a budding anarchist.
Anarchist.
Yeah.
Okay, is this...
Not a libertarian.
Right, I get it.
Fuck libertarianism.
Is this a weird type of fan fiction you've just engaged in? Or do you truly mean this? Mika, will you lean in a little? Yeah.
It could be both, right?
It could be both. Hey.
It could be.
Hey, on Open Up and Bleed...
Yeah.
The notion of this show... is that you will be telling me the truth of truths. And so far, every episode, people have opened up in quite a vulnerable way. But if someone were to come on this show and just spout out quote-unquote lies, or as you like to call it, fan fiction, then that would also be fine.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I look forward to your anarchist farm, and I hope that you can produce some non... You know, what do you guys think about GMOs, by the way?
Oh, God.
I think it's fine. You guys think it's a problem? What do you guys know about it?
I don't know enough to comment.
Yeah. You think it's a problem?
Can be honest here.
It depends on your perspective. So, like, some people who don't think it's a problem don't give a shit about the Earth, like, as, like, a natural thing. So there's like, well, whatever it takes to feed us.
But what about the fact that some GMOs, or a lot of them, deal precisely what you were talking about in efficiency, right? Like, a part of the goal of GMOs is that they, like, yield more, and that they potentially create it so that when the crops come up, they don't, like, ravage the land as much as a lot of natural crops.
Sure.
To me, GMOs is kind of like it's kind of like abortions. Like, you know, like, I think, you know, abortions is like science coming up with something to deal with, like, a natural, maybe, like, issue that some people might have.
Right.
Right? And it's not necessarily, like, it's an intrusion on a natural process in order to, you know, come up with a solution to problems.
Right.
All
right?
And that's what, like, GMOs are. And then people are against a lot of the time, you know.
Well, some people are legitimately against GMOs just because they're GMOs, for no other reason. Just because it was done inside a lab, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't eat that.
Yeah, Buzz Lab, that's a problem.
Yeah, so it's definitely, like, somewhat of a buzzword for, like, in that sense.
I mean, look, I'm not pretending to be the most informed. I certainly don't support, like, whatever corporate hierarchies or whatever like that.
Right.
Crazy. I don't think corporations are people or whatever Mika is thinking about in her head right now. But I understand what GMOs more or less are. And, like, for instance, like, you know, they'll come up with a way to make certain crops. And all you thousands of listeners viewing this right now, feel free to chime in and tell me I'm a fucking stooge, a corporate tool, a fucking Monsanto, a crony, or whatever. But, you know, they'll find a way to come up with crops that are bug-resistant, that are resistant to strains of pestilence. And they don't have to spray pesticides on these crops.
Right.
They don't have to poison the food, because they've come up with a way of poisoning the bugs through the genome of the food without poisoning the humans.
Right.
And that is delightful. I mean, that's a solution to me.
It's a solution to a whole host of problems, right, that we've built up.
Yeah, they're a problem.
From the ground up.
We created the pesticide problem.
Right,
To fix some solution. Now we have a better solution.
But are you against them or not against them?
Well, to me, it's not that simple. Like,
it's true.
So for me, like, my whole problem is the closed system. People not thinking about, like, the earth and, like, just, like, the soil. So, like, a lot of these scientists, sure, like, they might have a point. It's also, like, how much do you trust the government to, like, fix these plants?
But the government isn't in charge of, I mean, they're in charge of regulating stuff, but, like, you know, basically, if something can make a lot of money and it's not going to kill you, the government is going to pass it.
Right.
The FDA is going to pass it. But it's private corporations that come up with the research and the development to make functional advances in genetically modified plants, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It's boring. We can
it's
move
not,
on.
But I think, but, I mean,
it's
I do think
boring.
That is where...
It's not boring, but...
It's really important, too, because it is inevitable at this point in our evolution.
The difference, though, between abortions and GMOs is that there aren't a lot of corporations benefiting from abortions. There's not so much money behind it.
There's a lot of corporations benefiting from GMOs. I'm saying
there's not from abortions, and so it's like it's more of a moral question, where this is like more of an industry question.
I think they're both,
there's like
the thing is, so much money behind it. The attack on GMOs
is that it's immoral, right?
It's not like small-time farmers are like paying lobbyists to be like, fuck, they're ruining our farming business. Small-time farmers like GMOs.
I know, but the reason it even exists, that this development is even pushed forward, is like...
It's
not like a cultural issue. It's like a...
It's also,
it is, but it is. It has to do with crop yield. It has to do with providing food cheaply to, like, potentially starved populations. And it has to do with this whole pushback on it that's kind of like... this is immoral. We're fucking up the natural qualities of this fruit or of these plants.
Right, right.
And we're like making this, we don't know what effect this is going to have on our bodies because we're fucking making it in a lab. It's not nature's way. Yeah. It becomes this moral issue.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, but that's almost like icing on the cake. I think that the whole progress of like farms is like all...
It's always been this sort of like pollination and cross-pollination just because it was done out in the field really, not in a lab. It's like...
No, but I think it's just, it's like completely led by kings of industry and this like money-making. And
that's that, that like... actual crossbreeding plants.
Yeah.
That's different because in the lab you can just like create something and inject it into the plant.
No,
like that's different than like, oh, I'm going to take this strain of sage and this strain.
I'm
going to make new sage.
I don't find those to be qualitatively different.
But I don't have any problem with genetic modification.
But
in general, I'm totally fine with that.
That's where I think the moral question lies. Like, I don't think those things are that different. Like cross-pollinating, cross-breeding, like natural things with other natural things versus like coming up with some synthetic thing that basically has a lot of the genetic qualities of and then putting it in.
Yeah. I think what's more like much more dubious are just the motivations of
to make money.
Well, yeah, so of these corporations, so like, you know, like, that the way they all, you know, there's just...
So you think...
Everything is about getting as cheap as possible, and it's not about so actually, like...
So if we lived in some...
I don't think that benefits people in the long...
Okay, let's go back to this abortion analogy, because it's probably off the mark on a few different levels. I'm just thinking about it as, like, a moral analogous thing. So let's come up with an alternate universe, right, where women's rights... A woman's right to choose and abortion was sold by, as a concept, as a moral concept, was sold as a completely celebrated moral imperative by the deacons of industry because they understood that unwanted children lead to XYZ things that are bad for business.
Yeah.
Then do you think that there would be a whole group of people who would have a critique of the insidiousness of the abortion lobby? I don't think so. But you're kind of saying that there would be.
I see what you're saying.
Attack on... I agree with you that
like
Monsanto as a buzzword is a problem, not just because of the fact that they're genetically modifying shit, but because they're a corporation. They're like, I don't know what they're doing to, like, our food and to the mom and pop farmers and to everything seems like it's poison. Like, you know, like people talk about this shit and they don't really know what they're talking about because they just like basically are anarchists.
Well, the thing is the motives in this case don't actually matter, I think, because which is rare, really rare for me to actually say that. But I think what matters is like the consequences. Like, what happens when people eat this food? What are the long-term effects?
Hey,
you can't test for that.
Hey, what the fuck are the long-term effects of this? I love this. I'm playing. See, this is another reason why it's good that we're on air video.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing on my mobile device, smartphone, which we all do 10 to 12 hours a day. And everyone's like, oh, I love this. Oh, cool. It's a Candy Crush. Oh, I'm texting. Ooh, Tinder. Ooh, I match with three people. And then, like, okay, like 7.5 years from now, we're all fucking tumors. We're all dead. The mortality rate is fucking 39 years old in fucking Silicon Valley. Everyone's dying at 32. You're dead soon, Darius. Mika, you're on your way. I got a little more time.
Yeah, I agree.
What?
I don't have
with
it.
That?
I'm just saying. But where are all the attacks on smartphones? Because we don't know what the hell smartphones are doing to us. We don't know.
I mean, better attacks, but
the reason people are against genetic modification is because it's just too close. It's too close to like genetic modification in humans, and people are very threatened by that idea.
Yeah,
it's
super close.
It's already happening.
Basically the same
thing. I agree that they're the same.
It's just human life. That's why people don't like abortions either. It's like phones, smoking, whatever.
Well, abortions are a lot different. You're just straight up killing something. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
Well, there's no modification.
Well, no. Are you killing something, though?
Are we going to go down that path?
Probably. I mean, we can.
We can.
But you probably don't have enough time. Are you pro-life, Darius?
It's not my choice.
It's not your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a man.
Yeah, it's not your choice
in,
at all.
In my opinion.
So you're pro-choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right answer.
Because I have to be one of them, right?
Well, you have to be one of what?
Pro-choice or pro-life. No, just like so many false binaries in this.
Hey, life. Man, that's code. That's the code world we're living in.
Yeah, right. I have to like.
Zero or one.
Yeah.
Choose.
Yeah.
What side are you on? Which side are you on?
I like zero, actually.
Yeah.
I like zero.
But maybe genetic modification in humans isn't that bad either.
See, like, it scares me, for sure. I have anxiety. Like, when I first moved to... Here,
it will be a class issue, for sure, though.
Yeah, oh, everything's God. A class issue. But when I first moved to LA, I liked this girl. All right? I liked this girl. And she started talking about like body mods and stuff, and how you know,
oh,
like,
body,
like
yeah,
installing chips,
yeah.
and like doing like putting stuff in your temple, and like
that's not what they you can, yeah.
yeah
but what
can,
about removing what, cancer or
cool,
such?
Cool, whatever. All I'm saying is
this
that,
is low.
What'd you say?
This is low.
Your power?
Yeah.
What do you got?
There's no percent, but I can.
Is it red?
It's red.
8 seconds.
But I can charge
eight
it.
8 minutes.
8 minutes. 8 minutes. Yeah.
You got a
minutes.
Charger?
Yeah.
Go grab it.
Okay.
Go grab a charger.
I mean, you could just switch that one.
No, no, mine low too.
Oh yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But you've been charging it the whole time.
No, I started charging in the middle. Okay. There's only 8 minutes left in the show, guys. So
actually, well, it'll probably work out.
Early.
But you don't want to chance it.
But where does this?
Right there. Right there.
Okay.
Okay, so, I don't know, it just freaked me out when this girl was saying all these goals that she had for just, like, you know, like, improving her body through, like, basically, will you just slide that close there?
Well,
probably,
yeah.
Well, but look, I'm not
like
a big fan of plastic
surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be a decision of taste and class.
Yeah, it's just a decision of taste.
And money.
Yeah, and class.
What do you guys think about, race as a construct?
I was just reading about this today, actually.
Yeah,
this show is really intense.
We all been reading about this because of this. Today's June 16th, 2015. And for the record, there's been a bit of a scandal going on in our country, America, right? There was a woman, what's her name?
Rachel
Dolezal.
Yeah.
And she, in the last 10 years, has purported to be black, actuality she was born white.
Yeah.
But then today and she was basically exposed on television. Someone asked her, like, why couldn't your father make it to the ribbon cutting ceremony? And she's like, he's sick. And then the reporter showed her a picture of a black man, and he said, is this your father? And she's like, yeah, why, you know? And then he said, are you African American? And then she said, what do you mean? She's like, he's like, this is not your father. We know this is not your father. And then she's
so
like, I'm leaving. You know.
So
that was how
sketchy.
It all started a few days ago.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff. She went to Howard University, and she grew up with four adopted black children as her siblings.
Oh.
No, but I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I know.
And
there's context.
There's context.
There's
whatever.
Plenty of context.
To me, it's clear that the woman is deranged. It's clear to me that the woman is obviously psychotic.
Yeah.
And obviously the problem here is the lie, right?
Right.
Is that,
right.
That's the big problem. Like,
right.
The fact that she is involved in the black community and like
right.
doing all of these things and is fine, is chill.
Yeah.
Just don't pretend to be black.
Right. Right.
But then I read this article. I think the same one you read.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't know. But what did yours say?
Well,
I
didn't read about her. I was reading something on the Bolshevik site about the history of capitalism and racism.
And
it
go
was,
on, you anarchist
it was,
farmer.
It was basically saying that like race as a social construct in ancient times, like
uh-huh.
antiquity,
mm-hmm.
basically like didn't really like influence any like class distinctions.
Right.
And it was mm-hmm. basically came about after like slavery was sort of like an economically viable thing, and when you would like go conquer other nations
mm-hmm.
Starting in like 15th century.
Uh-huh.
So it was sort of like a holdover of like European settler colonialism.
So they're saying that when, for instance, like the Romans or something got slaves from Africa,
yeah,
or Hannibal got slaves from Europe,
right,
that the color, the like, skin color distinction didn't really contribute,
yeah,
to the sort of social stratification.
Right, it didn't contribute to implied inferiority.
Right, okay, got it.
Whereas, I don't know, like, coming from, like, the philosophy of European settler colonialism.
Yeah.
Slavery sort of came first, and then, like, within, like, the ethic of, like, Christianity and destiny, they needed a way to, like, rationalize it. By saying, okay, if we're going to make these people slaves, although we're Christians and although, like, men have inalienable rights and all this stuff, like, they're actually probably just inferior anyway. And same sort of, like, rationale was used for women, right? Because, uh-huh, like, okay, yeah, all these inferior, upstanding white men, they were Christians, they were good fathers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But my daughter still doesn't deserve to get an education because, you know, she has a vagina.
Yeah, certain physical
limitations. Yeah, yeah. So,
I read a sidebar article. I guess we can talk more about articles and stuff, but maybe we could also talk about, like, you as a black man.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
I think I'm going to get shot soon.
Well, yeah, look, right, isn't that the thing? Like, a lot of black men and black people get shot by cops.
Women too, actually. Yeah.
Tackled and punched and all this stuff.
Yeah. And actually, the 12-year-old kid in Cleveland that just got gunned down in, like, a park, he had a toy gun.
Tamir Rice.
Right. The cop just got charged, actually. So
good. He got indicted, right?
He's going to trial.
Yeah.
It doesn't really. It's a step.
He deserves to.
It's a step in the right direction.
It should be part of the course.
Right. It should be part, right.
But I think that's in the air, right? Because black people in America have to suffer through all of these horrifying injustices just because of who they are.
Right.
Born. And then this woman is sort of like a white woman, and she's like, I'm black.
Right.
Like, God. I'm African studies professor.
Right,
I'm
right.
NAACP.
Right.
And then I assume black people are going to be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, bitch, you are crazy.
Well, it's interesting because, like light-skinned black people have been, like, trying to pass
for,
like, years. And then this lady's like, okay, I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah, well, the insidious thing, of course, is that she didn't have to deal with all of the, the disadvantages put onto black people in this country.
Right.
And then she's just kind of reaping the sort of, like, whatever she can reap from that status.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's in the air. I think this would be way less crazy or, like, way less attention on it if there wasn't this deserved focus on all the injustices experienced by black Americans, and also this other angle that's going on that doesn't have to do with black Americans, which is the whole, like, trending the last 6 months.
Right? Yeah.
Just trans rights.
And she's just capitalizing on it.
And this is, like, this weird crossroads of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you had someone that's not transgender, but transracial, you know,
right,
and all this shit.
Right.
I don't know. I guess we're getting confused here, but it's interesting. I mean, we could talk literally for 3 hours about this.
There's so much to tease out. Yeah,
but the show is actually basically over, which is insane.
It does all have to be teased out, though.
Let me make sure someone's here because I'd like to keep talking if you guys are down.
Yeah.
Let me make sure the next person's here, and otherwise we'll sign off. What's up, Rye? Are you here to do the next show?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So we're gonna wrap up in a second. Sorry. What's the name of your show? Dirty Laundry TV.
So is there room for new shows at K-Chung now? You know, I had a show here.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not that impressive, I guess.
I mean, I don't think
David and I had a show. Do you remember that?
Room. I mean, there might be room. Contact.
I don't actually want.
I'm just a DJ.
I don't want to check.
Guys, wow. I wish we could do a part two, and maybe we will.
Maybe.
Because we're really getting cut off at such an inopportune time.
Critical juncture.
So, any last thoughts on anything we've discussed? I'm going to start with you, Darius. Real quick.
So, apparently, there's more variation within races than between them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool.
And that's very unexpected, right?
Well, like I was saying, it's a construct, right?
Right.
I think actual scientists and social scientists have been saying that for at least, I think, 75 years. They've been saying that in looking at genetic makeup, race is literally a distinction that was projected onto people due to, like, whatever. I'm not saying anything new.
From the upper classes.
Yeah, it's just a power structure thing that has to do with sort of, like, differentiation through visible traits.
Right.
Physical things.
Yeah.
And actually has nothing to do
with
anything.
Financially motivated.
Yeah, exactly. I think race is a huge thing in this country. And if you look at,
colonialism. I mean,
if you look at other countries,
everything's financially motivated.
Everything is driven by economics, right?
Yeah.
That's true hundreds of years ago, too.
Race for Europe is still a massive problem.
It's a thing, too. But it all has to do with education, social class, economics.
It's worked out very differently there. Americans like to get all their stuff out in the open. Just a constant mess.
Hey, that's what we do here. Open up and
bleed. This is...
and this is not
we're participating in
any
that.
Any last thoughts for you, Mika?
No.
No.
I'm done. That's it. It's over.
God, I'm just so excited to be sharing this show with you guys. And not you, but listeners and viewers. And I'm excited to have such insightful and open guests every week. This has been Open Up and Bleed. I've been joined today by Mika Markle, Mocha Luminary, Darius
Liddell. Yep.
Recent transplant. And I'm Eugene Kotarenko. Tune in next Tuesday at 9 p.m. We'll have a new guest who will come and open up and bleed. Thank you. Tell your friend. All right.
Cool.
This is
KHM
Radio.
Wait, did that record?
Yeah, that was live.
That recorded.